world right now, even in our time. And really just to kind of give the sum, we'll be in chapter 48 this morning, so we're near the end of the book of Jeremiah, but just to kind of give a little bit of background and kind of the context of the book of Jeremiah, God called Jeremiah to his nation, to his people. He loved his nation very dearly. However, his nation had turned away from God, had turned toward idolatry, and as Jeremiah said, they've hewn out two cisterns that can hold no water, and they've forsaken me, the living God, and they've turned to idols, to false gods. And that's really a picture of much of the United States of America today. And so God called Jeremiah, and God says, Jeremiah, I want you to go to your nation and to your people, and I want you to call them back to me. I want you to call them to repentance. I want you to call them back to their first love, really, back to that walk with me that they once knew. And so Jeremiah was very faithful to that call of God. Now, we know the account, his nation rejected his word. Jeremiah was often persecuted, thrown into the dungeon, into the miry clay, as he called it, and he was hated and despised by his nation. They would not listen to him. And finally, arrived at a point, God said, there's no hope. My judgment will come upon this nation. And interestingly, as God takes that nation through a period or a time of judgment, God, in the midst of judgment, always remembered mercy. Now, we're going to be in chapter 48, but I want you just to go back with me for just a moment to chapter number 29. And really, chapter 29 gives the heart of God for his people. If you look in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse number 10, Jeremiah 29, verse number 10, is Jeremiah has warned this particular generation that God's judgment was imminent upon them, yet he shares with this generation that God was not finished with them. And it's so much the way God deals with his children today, and that God chastens his children. You cannot, if you're saved, you cannot get away from God and rejoice in that. There will always be consequences of getting away from the Lord. And so it was for the nation of Judah. They couldn't get away from God and get by with it. Yet God says to them, I'm going to discipline you, but the purpose of my discipline is to draw you back to me. Notice in verse number 10 of Jeremiah 29, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years shall be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you. So God brought judgment upon them, brought Nebuchadnezzar against them. Nebuchadnezzar took many of them captive. Others were slain in the streets. And God said, I will judge you. And after 70 years, God said, I will visit you. And he said, and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. He said, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away from away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. And we see the partial fulfillment of this during the days of Daniel. They had been taken captive into the land of Babylon, spent 70 years there. Daniel began to read the book of Jeremiah, began to realize they were at the end of that 70 years. And God would raise up King Cyrus. He would call him by name. And God would take the children of Israel back to the land of Judah. However, there is a far-reaching prophecy to this, and it's the fact that God is not finished with Israel yet. And so the ultimate fulfillment of these prophecies will take place during what we will call the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. This, I believe, is a very near event. The next major event to come to this world will be the rapture. And suddenly, without warning, there will be the trumpet sound, and the dead in Christ will rise. And then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And we're going to be preaching this morning about what's going to happen in heaven when we're with the Lord, the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of the tribulation, this world will face a time of tribulation, but at the end of the tribulation, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return from heaven with his saints. And at that point, he will establish his rule and reign here upon the earth, and there will be the ultimate fulfillment of the scripture as the Lord is gathering together all of his nation, all of Israel, and there he will rule upon the throne of David for 1,000 years. Glorious time as we see the fulfillment of that. Now, that kind of lays the foundation, and through chapter 45 of the book of Jeremiah, God is dealing with his nation, with Judah. Now, when we get to chapter 46 of Jeremiah, God turns his attention to Gentile nations. And I want you just back up with me to chapter 46, if you would, of Jeremiah chapter 46, verse number 1. Okay, in chapter 46, verse number 1, the word of the Lord, which came to Jeremiah the prophet, and notice this, against the Gentiles. And so God, in the first part of the chapter, is dealing with the Jews. He's dealing with Judah, with the nation of Israel. But now he turns his attention to the Gentiles. And he starts in chapter 46 with his judgment upon Egypt. Now, as we come to chapter number 47, and chapter 48, we have God's judgment against Moab. And that's where I want to pick up here this morning. Notice in verse 1, chapter 48, and the statement is, against Moab, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. And so this section is that continuation of the judgment against Gentile nations. And God judges Gentile nations in accordance with their treatment of Israel. And that's very important to understand. God's not finished with Israel. There is a book, we have it in our library, that is entitled, As America Has Done to Israel. And what you find is, studying the history of America, you will find that as America has blessed Israel, God has blessed this nation. But you will find times in our history when America turned against Israel or made judgments or laws against Israel, and God brought judgment against this nation. Very interesting, when Hurricane Katrina came to America, and there were billions of dollars of destruction. Interestingly, there was a front page article in many papers talking about Hurricane Katrina, but there was also a front page article talking about how we had encouraged a two-nation state and front page in many newspapers. And you can find the history of America often related to our treatment of Israel as a nation. So as we're going through these Gentile nations, it's very interesting to notice that God judges them in accordance with what they've done to his nation, Israel. Now, I want you to keep your place here in Jeremiah chapter 48. I want you to go back with me to the book of Genesis for just a moment. And I want you to go to chapter number 12 of Genesis. This is very important for us to grasp and to understand as God deals with Gentile nations. In Genesis chapter 12, when God called Abraham, God gave to Abraham a promise. And you look in chapter 12, verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And God said, I will make of thee a great nation. Now, that was the nation of Israel. He says, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. But notice what God says. God said, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, of course, we know that ultimately God raised up Abraham, and God gave to the world through the seed of Abraham the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that that was God's ultimate fulfillment of his blessing upon the nations. It was the Lord Jesus Christ and that gift of a Savior to the world. But God said to Abram, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. Now, I want you to go skip and keep your place in Jeremiah chapter 48. I want you to skip over to the New Testament, and I'd like you to go to Matthew chapter 25. Now, Matthew chapter 25, to understand the context of this scripture, This judgment that we read about in Matthew chapter 25 takes place after the tribulation, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns from heaven with his saints. And we read in chapter 25, if you'll pick up with me at verse number 31, chapter 25, verse 31. Okay, it says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory. So this is the return of Jesus Christ after the tribulation. When the Lord comes in his glory, the Bible says every eye shall see him. The nations of the earth are going to wail because of him. But notice here what he says. All of his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. This is going to be the millennial reign of Christ, where Jesus sits on the throne of David. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them at his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the beginning, or the foundation of the world. And then he says, for I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, ye gave me drink. And he's speaking here of the judgment of nations. Now there's a lot I don't understand or comprehend about all of the details and all that's going to happen when Jesus returns. But it becomes very evident that the nations are going to be gathered before him. This is after the tribulation. And they're going to be judged in accordance with their treatment of his nation, Israel. It's evident that during the tribulation, Antichrist is going to be very anti-Semitic. He's going to be very anti-Christianity. He's going to bring judgment and death for all that will not take the mark of the beast. And it's evident that there will be some nations and peoples that will protect and offer refuge for Israel, having to flee from the Antichrist. And the Lord is going to reward them as they enter into the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, again, there's a lot of detail that I don't understand. But I know this, that God brings reward to those that take care of his nation of Israel. And that's very clear through the Word of God. Now that helps us, gives us a bit of foundation. Go back with me to Jeremiah chapter number 48. Jeremiah chapter 48. In Jeremiah 48, we have God's judgment upon the land of Moab. Now, can anybody tell me who were the Moabites? Where did they come from? Anybody know the background of the Moabites in the Bible? Okay, where did they come from? Okay, Lot. Lot. Uh-huh, very good. Lot and his daughter. And it was an incestuous relationship. You can read about this in Genesis chapter 19. And there were the two daughters of Lot. And when Lot was delivered out of Sodom and went to the mountains, we know that Lot gave birth to both daughters. The oldest daughter were the Moabites, Moab. The youngest daughter, the Ammonites. And often you'll find the Moabites and the Ammonites together in the Word of God. And so now we're talking about the judgment upon the Moabites. The next chapter, we'll talk about the judgment upon the Ammonites. Now, if you study back in the book of Genesis and kind of follow the history and through the first five books of the Bible, you'll find that the Moabites settled on the east side of the Jordan River. And Israel, when they came out of Egypt, tried to avoid the Moabites. They offered an opportunity to go through their land and go by the king's highway and to pay for their food and their water. And the Moabites rejected that. And so they went around the land of Moab. But when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, do you remember a man named Balak? Okay, Balak was the king of Moab. And do you remember that Balak hired a guy named Balaam? Okay? And why did he hire Balaam? Who can tell me? Why did he hire Balaam? Okay? Why is that? To curse the children of Israel. And so we find that the Moabites, Balak, tried to hire Balaam to curse the children of Israel. Now, if you follow the account, God would not allow Balaam to curse the children of Israel, because the hand of God. You can read about this in Numbers chapters 21 through 25. Read all about that. But God would not allow him to curse them. However, it's evident that Balaam offered to Balak some counsel that would bring a curse upon the children of Israel through their own sin. And so he taught the Moabites how to entice the children of Israel to sin and lead them away from God, to entice them with their women to bring a curse upon themselves. Now, I want you to go back with me. Keep your place here in Jeremiah 48. Go back with me to Numbers chapter number 25. Go back to Numbers chapter 25 and let's read what happened here. And it's very important to understand this context to know what's happening in Jeremiah 48. In Numbers chapter 25, read with me, beginning at verse number 1. Numbers chapter 25, verse number 1. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself to Baal-peor. And notice the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Now skip down to verse number 16. Verse number 16. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Vex the Midianites and smite them, for they vex you with their vials, wherewith they beguiled you. In the matter of Peor, in the matter of Cosby, the daughter of the prince of Midian, their sister, which was slain the day of the plague of Peor's sake. And it's talking about now God would judge the Moabites and Midianites here for their enticement of the children of Israel. Look in 2 Chronicles chapter number 20, and it's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, what we find is years later, the Moabites still become a thorn, we might say, in the side of the nation of Israel. And so we go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, in verse number 1, Jehoshaphat, a godly king, and it reads in verse 1, It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and again, these are the two sons of Lot, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. So here we have the Moabites again coming against the nation of Israel. Now here's what I want you to see. Go back to chapter 48, and we'll delve into chapter 48 of Jeremiah now. You see, God determined judgment upon the Moabites because of their treatment of the nation of Israel. And again, as America has done to Israel, as the Moabites have done to Israel, and in the matter of Balak and Balaam, in the matter of Jehoshaphat, the Moabites, and throughout the history of Israel for a time, the Moabites were a thorn for the nation of Israel. And so in mistreating Israel, they brought judgment upon themselves. So in chapter 48 of Jeremiah, we talk about this judgment, and this whole chapter is dealing with God's judgment upon the Moabites. It's a fairly long chapter. We'll find here in the first 10 verses of chapter 48, there's sorrow, devastation upon the nation of Moab that's prophesied. It's similar to prophecies that are found in Numbers chapter 21 when the Moabites came with Balak. Moab was a large land, many cities. Notice in verse number 1, against Moab, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, woe to Nebo. These are the major cities at that time of Moab, for it is spoiled. Kiriathaim is confounded and taken. Misgab is confounded and dismayed. And so talking about these cities that would be destroyed because of their treatment of the nation of Israel. He mentions in verse number 2, Heshbon, and that's also mentioned back in Numbers chapter 21 in the account of Balaam and Balak and the judgment that would come upon these cities. There would be much destruction. Notice in verse number 2, he makes the statement, let us cut us off from being a nation. He says in verse number 2, And come, let us cut it from being a nation. Thou shalt be cut down, O madman. The sword shall pursue thee. And God's talking about judgment. In verse 3, he speaks of a spoiling and great destruction. In verse number 4, he said, Moab is destroyed. And this is the judgment that God would bring upon this land. If you skip down to verse number 8, he says, The spoiler shall come upon every city. The city shall escape, the valley also shall perish, and the plain shall be destroyed, as the Lord hath spoken. Give wings unto Moab, that it may flee, and get away, for the cities thereof shall be desolate without any to dwell therein. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. Cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from the blood. And so God is talking about raising up others to bring judgment against Moab, again, because of Moab's treatment of the nation of Israel. He tells us in verse 3 that there would be weeping. And again, in verse number 4, Moab is destroyed. Her little ones have caused a cry to be heard. And so you can imagine as war and devastation and destruction come upon that land, there's weeping, there's wailing, there's cry. Now, as you read through this, there's a purpose, there's a reason that God brought the destruction. We mentioned their treatment of the nation of Israel. But I want you to see in verse number 7, there's a statement that's very important. I want to grasp onto it. He says, "For because thou hast trusted in thy works and in thy treasures, thou also shall be taken." And so God is saying that they were proud and not trusting in the Lord. They were not looking to God. They were trusting in their fleshly works. They were trusting in their own wealth. And they were proud, not seeing their need of the Lord. In fact, that was the reason they mistreated Israel, is they were looking not to God, but they were looking to themselves. And pride always leads to destruction. And you'll find this principle throughout the Word of God. And every one of us are given basically a choice. We can trust in the Lord, or we can trust in the world, or we can trust in ourselves. And when we turn away from the Lord, it's always a prideful thing to not see our need of the Lord. And Moab saw no need of the Lord and would not trust the Lord, and thus God brought judgment upon them. Something also interesting, look in verse number 7, and there's this statement in verse number 7, "For because thou hast trusted in thy works, in thy treasures, thou also shalt also be taken. But notice, and Chemosh shall go forth into captivity with his priests and his princes together." Now, the national god of the Moabites, the Ammonites, was this god called Chemosh. And it's really interesting to go back into the Bible and study that history and that background of Chemosh. For example, when Balaam was called upon to curse the nation of Israel back in Numbers chapter 21, the statement is made, "Woe to Moab, thou art undone, a people of Chemosh." And in the book of Judges, the Moabites and the Ammonites were referred to as the people of Chemosh, or this false god of Chemosh. Interesting, whenever Solomon married many wives, and these wives turned his heart away from the Lord, we find that he built a temple to Chemosh, and God judged him because of this. And again, Chemosh there was mentioned as the god of the Ammonites, the Moabites. Now, there were horrible things, and it's hard for us to even comprehend, horrible things that were identified with Chemosh. Do you realize that they would actually literally take babies and offer those babies as burnt sacrifices to Chemosh? Can you imagine that? Now, they would take and kill these babies on the altar. And we've had little Evelina, and what a privilege just to hold Evelina. And I was thinking about that, seeing Evelina. And then, but they would take a little baby and put that baby upon the altar and all offer that baby as a burnt sacrifice. That's hard to comprehend. That's how deceitful and depraved the human heart becomes without the Lord Jesus Christ. And so these were the things that God must judge. In their pride, they turned against Israel. In their pride, they brought destruction against Israel. In their pride, they rejected God. In their pride, they turned to Chemosh, the false god of the Ammonites and the Moabites. And so God said, "I must judge you." And so as you move on, Moab refused to humble themselves. Look in verse number 11. "Moab have been at ease from his youth, and he has settled on his lees. He hath not emptied from vessel to vessel." And it's talking about he's not emptied his heart out, not humbled himself before God. "Neither hath gone to captivity. Therefore his taste remained in him, and his scent is not changed. And he refused to be broken for sin." But God always has the final say. And God said in verse number 12 that he would empty them. He says, therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send unto him wonders, and shall cause him to wonder, and shall empty his vessels and break their bottles. And so God would humble them, and God would empty them, and God would make them ashamed of their false gods. And Moab shall be ashamed of Chemosh, as the house of Israel was ashamed of Bethel, their confidence. And so God, Chemosh would not deliver them. Go all the way to the end of the book. Go to verse number 46, verse 46 of the chapter. He says, woe be unto you, O Moab, the people of Chemosh perisheth, for thy sons are taken captive, thy daughters captives. And I want to just give a thought here as you look at this, that false god, Chemosh, would not deliver them. The only one that can deliver is the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to see something, and this is very important for us to see. You know, God wants our hearts. He wants us above all things. He deserves us. He paid for us. And here, the children of Moab refused to humble themselves before God. As a result, they turned to a false god. But you'll notice here in verse number 46, and turning to this false god, notice this, for thy sons are taken captives and thy daughters captives. And that's what's happening in America. As God's people are turning to idolatry, as this nation is turning to idolatry, there are the consequences upon the coming generation. And our young people are being taken captive today. They're being destroyed today. They're being destroyed today through social media. Adults are being destroyed through social media today. Being destroyed through idolatry, through false gods. And the judgment of God that comes upon Moab is a judgment that will come and must come upon this nation, except there is repentance and revival and a turning back to God. That's the warning that God gives. And I think as God deals with Gentile nations, this is a warning that God gives to us as a nation and to us as a people. Now go back with me earlier in the chapter, and I'm going to just sum up a couple of things here. A lot of repetitiveness through this chapter as God is describing the calamity again. God will have the final say. They boasted in verse number 14. How say we're mighty and strong men for the war? But he says in verse 15, Moab is spoiled and gone up out of her cities, and there would be that judgment. His chosen young men are gone down to the slaughter. And that judgment, he said, would be very imminent. In verse number 16, he said, the calamity of Moab is near to come. His affliction hasteth fast. And interestingly, if you go back into history, Josephus was a Jewish historian. And Josephus tells us that 5 years after Nebuchadnezzar came against Israel and Jerusalem, 5 years after that, that these events that Jeremiah prophesied were fulfilled. And Nebuchadnezzar came against this land of Moab, and there was great destruction, great devastation. Many of the cities were wiped out, as God had described here. And there was weeping and gnashing of teeth, and as children were destroyed and they were slain. And history tells us of that through Josephus, of that devastation, of that destruction, and all that would take place in God's judgment there upon the land. If you go back again, let's just sum this up. Look at verse 26. And again, there's a lot of repetitiveness. But one of the things that's emphasized through this chapter, if you look in verse 26, make him drunken, for he hath magnified himself against the Lord. Okay? Whenever you magnify yourself against the Lord, you're never going to win. You're never going to win. You cannot fight against God and ever win the battle. Any person that stands against God and God's will, there will be the consequences that he will face. In verse number 29, he says, we have heard the pride of Moab. He is exceeding proud. His loftiness, his arrogancy, his pride, and the haughtiness of his heart. In verse number 42, and Moab shall be destroyed from being a people because he hath magnified himself against the Lord. And so it's evident that in magnifying themselves against God, there would be the devastation, there would be the destruction that would come. And then verse number 27 just sums up this thought. And for was not Israel a derision unto thee? Now we mentioned at the beginning, as a nation did to Israel, so God would do to that nation. And it's evident that Moab looked at Israel as a derision, or they mocked Israel. Was he found among thieves? For since thou spakest of him, thou skippest for joy. And so Moab mocked Israel, and we saw that with Balaam and with Balak. And as a result, God would bring judgment upon the land. God said because of that judgment that joy would cease from the land. Look in verse number 31. He says, therefore, will I howl for Moab, I will cry out for all Moab, my heart shall not mourn for the men of Kirharis. And he's talking about that devastation that would come. Now go to the very last verse, verse 47 of this chapter. And I'm just going to sum it up with this chapter. It's very interesting as you read through the Word of God. After God's judgment, God shows again mercy. And notice this statement. He says, yet will I bring again the captivity of Moab in the latter days. And what's that talking about? That's talking about the millennial reign of Christ. And again, the victory that God gives, saith the Lord, thus far is the judgment of Moab. And would be God's mercy in the end. You know, let me just close with this thought. God always before judgment offers mercy. He offers an opportunity of repentance. You'll find that throughout the Word of God. And God's purpose of judgment is always to bring one back to Christ. And, you know, God, he's so gracious. We can't comprehend the wonders of the Lord and the marvelous grace of our God. It's so beyond my comprehension. How God, even out of all of the wickedness, all of the evil, can turn and work together for good. How many of you heard of Madeline Mary O'Hare? Okay, she's the woman that brought suit with her son against school systems, and it was through her, she was an atheist, and through her court cases, sought to remove prayer from our public schools and to remove the Lord from our school systems. And just the hatred, if you read the statements, and just a bitter, bitter woman, very bitter in her life. And but what we don't often hear about today is that son who was a little boy back in 1961 and was a part of that court case because of a school system that had prayer in school. And school then, through our courts, removed out of our public schools. That son later came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior and became a Baptist preacher. And so God took all of the evil and all of the devastation and all of the difficulties, and God glorified himself through it. And here's the thing. You can never fight against God, never win the battle. God is always going to be the victor. Always, 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 every knee will bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And the day will come with Moab, though they rejected the Lord, the day is going to come in the end that they're going to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that will always take place. And so you'll find this as you march through the book of Jeremiah as we deal with the Gentile nations. With that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you.